the majority of the people that I see, and I speak from my own experience, is that the first temptation to sell is actually because of burnout.
If I sell this, I'm going to have a pile load of cash and no problems. Sounds great, right? Let me just run you through like a little bit of the actual logic around when you sell.
People think about buying another one when there is constraint. And so that constraint might be, I've run out of chairs and I've run out of rooms and my team are now working really, really well, but I can't grow anymore. Like we've hit a physical ceiling. Something is broken and not working, and that's a heavy weight on your shoulders, like you're carrying the business. And I can speak to this because this happened to me 5 times.
Hitting $1 million.
And it is, until you get there. Because once you do,
everything changes.
Let me tell you what I mean by that. It's no longer, how do I grow? But actually the conversation changes and it becomes like, what do I do next?
Mm-hmm.
So last week, Joel and I ran the Boardroom annual retreat. It was pretty good.
So good.
And we had a new board member?
We did have a new board roomer in there just to mix things up. And as you know, when people grow and ascend, they end up in boardroom.
So the theme was buy, sell, or expand. Because what often happens when we reach our goal, like the goal for a lot of us is reach the $1 million mark. Like that is the thing that we want to help people do. That's our mission in life, help more salons reach the $1 million mark. But what often happens when they reach there is that kind of run out of future. You've heard me talk about it with team members. Our team members run out of future, but it happens to salon owners too. We have this goal, and then when we achieve the goal, we celebrate, ta-da, and now we're like, oh, now what?
I'm here.
Yeah. It's a bit like when you come back from holiday, and you've been this long anticipation of having the holiday. You have this amazing holiday, aka you arrive, you join boardroom, and then you're like, oh, now what?
It's the post-$1 million blues. Exactly. Like the post-holiday blues, right?
Exactly. We need to book another holiday.
We do. So, or book another goal.
Exactly. So we wanted to define like what is sell, buy, and expand. Because it happens to all of us when we hit the $1 million mark. So that's we thought we'd talk about that on the podcast today.
Yeah.
Good idea.
We should do that.
Well, sell. Let's, you know, exit the business.
I'm out. Let's go.
Buy. Multiple locations, like 2 rents.
Yes.
You're going to buy another salon or you're going to buy another lease for a rental.
Yep. So going from 1 to 2 or more.
Yeah. And expand is actually optimize your one location. So you might physically run out of space, but you might expand and have one large location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or we might move walls or add chairs.
Yeah, true. Yep. Renovate, whatever that needs to happen.
Yeah, nice. So those are 3 very different paths, 3 very different businesses. And ultimately for you, the owner, the CEO, 3 very different lives, depending on what you choose.
Now, the problem is, well, what we see often, Joel, is that most people are asking this question actually too early. Like what's next? I want to do something else. I'm bored or I'm not making enough money. And so this question comes up and it's like, oh, I love doing business. Or I don't love doing business, and they start asking the question a little bit too early. So there's a bit of a mistake that happens that we see quite often, and we wanted to tackle that today, you know, trying to buy or sell or expand before they've hit the $1 million mark. And I sort of feel like if your business isn't done, and we deem $1 million for milestone one is done, before you start another one or do anything else, like it creates chaos.
It does.
Actually.
Yeah.
I'm yet to see somebody do that and be successful sub $1 million.
Yeah. But when you're bored, it feels like that could be a good move.
Yeah. It can become busy activity. Okay. Shall we talk about each of these?
Let's dive in.
Let's talk about buying, because buying sounds like growth, right?
It does. I'm going to buy a second lease or a second business. And I don't know about you, Riss, but I think we've both been in this situation before. Like there's some real simple logic that occurs. It's like, let's just say in business number one, we have $100,000 in profit. It's like, oh, great, fantastic. And I've already got all these systems and processes. I'm just going to copy and paste those to the second place. So that's easy because you can just copy and paste that, right? I'm being cheeky. And then, of course, our profit's going to go from 100 to 200K. Like, that's the logic. And I've literally had that logic run through my head multiple times, but it's actually quite far from reality. It's actually complexity, a lot of complexity.
Correct. You are very right. Let me explain. Because when you multiply everything, mainly rent and team, you actually have to multiply everything. Two teams, two cultures, two sets of people that have their own internal dynamics, two rents, two payrolls, two sets of problems, two double chaos, two meetings, or if you have 10 in the team and then you have 20 in the team, now you have not 10 one-on-ones, you have 20 one-on-ones. So I think somehow, and I can speak to this because I did this. I literally did this and I was like, oh, this is going really well. Let me do another one without actually checking, did I have double the time?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that once upon a time vision of doubling your profit quite easily, what starts to happen is you actually double all the moving parts that are already going on for you. And you end up robbing yourself of the small amount of what we might call peace of mind that you've got. That's gone. And now you've got all these moving parts. And it's like, well, where's the double the profit?
Yeah. My experience is that I'm yet to see people double business and double profit, actually, which is the whole reason why we're talking about this.
Yeah.
So I think the next point really is that the first salon must be fully systemized. It must be profitable without you contributing to the revenue. And it must be run on a daily operational level without you, because you're going to be 100% required in the new place. And so I think it's not worth doing until you're physically maxed out your current space. Because let's just say the 100K profit is what the first location is doing. Like, you could argue that's pretty good. Although I would say, is that 100K profit or is that 100K including your salary plus a little bit of business profit? Because that's quite a different story. And I wouldn't be entertaining that until you've physically maxed out or optimizedly, is that a word? Maxed out systems, processes, freeing yourself, how you do the team operationally, and also bringing in clients. Like, is the business in demand for the brand, not for the individual people? Because if you haven't done that, my experience is that most people don't understand that they haven't yet optimized, because they've done everything that they know, but they don't know everything that they don't know and what's yet possible to do.
Yes. And I feel like everything that you're saying there, Riz, was really pointing towards, like, there's an element where you're still holding it all together. And if you are holding it together, don't copy it. Because if you do copy it, it won't paste. Remember what I talked about before? I'm just going to copy and paste the ops. It won't paste very well at all. And doubling your profits will seem like a dream that almost never comes true. And so I think the next point really is buying another lease or another salon is really a different skill set. So it's not about serving clients anymore. And we've got board rumors, we've got really high in the leader stage and phase, people turning over high hundreds of thousands of dollars that really enjoy one or half a day a week serving clients. Like, it's in their veins, it's in their blood, it's what gets them going, and it connects them with their team as well. When you shift to multiple locations or double leases, you're 100% a business person now. So that's more leadership, more operations, more recruitment.
Yeah. Like, really, that's your primary job, is to be in HR and recruitment and optimizing operations. And so if you love that, that's great. But what you're saying is, like, you got to take off the stylist or the therapist hat. Like, there's no room for that now.
Yeah.
If you don't want to either burn the candle or go crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so in that bucket of buying, what we're really starting to go is, you're forcing yourself into a role that's probably quite different to what you're currently.
You're a multi-site operator. Like, that's your job now. You're operating multi-sites. And if you love that daily operational management, it's all good. But, you know, you're not, what you're buying is not actually growth. It's actually choosing complexity.
Mm. Can I just add one more thing here, Riss? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I hear from a lot of owners that do go multi or more is a lot of driving.
A lot of driving. I actually remember this from when I had two salons, and I hadn't really calculated that into I just hadn't calculated it into the formula, because team now see that you're not on the floor and you're going, well, I was still doing a day in each location. And then I became the courier.
Yeah.
Hey, we've run out of 20 volt. Can you bring it over? And I'd be driving backwards and forwards. And I was like, this is not a high value activity to be doing. It would have been cheaper in terms of business outcomes for me to put it in a taxi.
Yes, absolutely. So that's buy, and it's an option. And
it's an option, but I just want to be really clear, we don't advocate it before $1 million, and until you're completely free of daily operations, you're not contributing to the revenue, and your systems and processes are tight, like it doesn't need you on a daily basis. And I think people underestimate what actually not needing actually means.
That's actually really clear.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast. Let's talk about the second option, which is to sell.
Great.
Or said another way, to exit. I'm done. I'm out. I'm leaving. Woo! Selling isn't freedom unless you've built it right.
I think the majority of the people that I see, and I speak from my own experience, is that the first temptation to sell is actually because of burnout. And it might be disguised as something else. I've been in the business for a long time. I want to spend more time with my family. I want to do something else. I've done this before. I'm now on repeat cycle. And that's really just a signal called AKA burnout disguised as something else.
Yeah.
Because if you were loving what you're doing, if it was making lots of money, if you had lots of freedom, if you had a good team, you'd actually be loving being there.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be like, God, get me out. And so often it is an indicator that something is broken and not working, and that's a heavy weight on your shoulders, like you're carrying the business. And I can speak to this because this happened to me 5 times. On the 5th time, I did actually sell, but I had 4 real sort of hit the wall, probably burnout, where I was like, stuff this is too hard to make this come together. And I wanted to sell, not because I was moving towards something else, but because I was just like, get me out of here, it's too hard.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that got me through in the end of the day is I've got grit. Somewhere along the line, I got the grit gene and I carried through. But it does remind me of Monica.
Mm-hmm.
She came to us 4 years ago. She's now in a leader squad.
Yeah.
And she came to me and said, Larissa, help me build my business so it's profitable enough to sell and I get a good payout. I'm done. I'm outskiing. I was like, yep, we can do that. Let's work together over the next year and let's turn this business around. Well, she did that because she came to every bloody call. She did all of the things that we suggested. And lo and behold, a year later, she had a really profitable, successful business that ran because she wanted to be there and serve clients, not because she had to contribute to the revenue. And we've been working with her 4 years now because she discovered she really loves her business, because it's not a weight on her shoulder, because it actually, she loves the industry and she loves the business.
I was coaching her this morning. She's so deep into the people development and wanting to grow career pathway for all of her people. She, as you alluded to, like when you're profitable, business is a lot more enjoyable.
It is, because like nobody wants to work for free. No. Nobody wants to work, 60 hours a week and not get paid. Like that eventually is going to wear you down.
Yeah.
But if you're getting paid really well and you can work 40 sub less hours, then actually that's a really good formula. Why would you leave that?
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other million-dollar-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary million-dollar strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
I think as well, Riss, when we're thinking about selling, like there's a bit of a reality that many of us miss, like you alluded to. Sometimes we want to sell because we want to get rid of the frustration, the or the burnout, the pain. Mm-hmm. And we think, well, if I sell this, I'm going to have a pile load of cash and no problems. Sounds great, right? Let me just run you through like a little bit of the actual logic around when you sell. So let's just say hypothetically, you sell for $1 million, which would
that'd be cool.
That'd be freaking awesome, wouldn't it? First of all, if you're here in New Zealand, then straight away you're going to pay about 280, maybe a little bit even more tax to the government for that. So now you're left with 700,000. You're probably going to pay off your mortgage, buy a car or two, maybe, you know, help your mum or your dad or someone else out. And all of a sudden, your $1 million sale becomes, I've got 100K left, no job, no income. And to be honest, I actually don't have the energy to start again.
Oh, yeah, no. Because that's why you got out in the first place.
That's why you got out in the first place. You were running out of energy with something that you'd already built. And so it's really important that we understand how it actually looks in a sale. And I think it's a good reframe for us is to actually, instead of just selling what you've got, is to actually go, how can I build something worth buying? So that other people can look in and go, oh my gosh, that looks really, really good. Like, I'd love those systems. I'd love that consistent profit, that structure that you're selling. Oh my gosh, does that mean I can take 4 weeks off every year without
six,
the revenue,
6 weeks.
6 weeks off every year without the revenue dipping? Now this is something that you're not trying to sell, but you've actually built something worth buying. And we, as Riss said earlier, just came off delivering this to our boardroomers. We gave them a four-step framework, an assessment tool essentially, and it allows them to assess their business and where it's at and put them on a scale so that they can diagnose where their business is at in terms of, is it worth buying, which I think is a really, really important piece of the puzzle. If they're on the scale and they're under a certain mark, they won't, and we tell them they're not allowed to sell, but once they get over a certain mark, their business is actually in a position where it's actually worth buying, and it's possibly a really good time to consider it or think about it.
I love that. Like Monica now being in a good position, like she has choice, and I know for me, I set myself up with a five-year plan, and do you know that the shift actually is, Joel, that if you have a plan to sell, there's this mental shift of disconnecting from the emotional connection that we have to our business. And for me, that's what happened in the last 5 years of my business. And I was like, okay, in 5 years, I'm going to sell. This is what I need, because, and this is the profit that I'm going to get from it in the years and the lead up to. And then I would have achieved the goal and then I'll be ready to sell.
Yeah.
I was actually going to expand or sell. But the main thing is that with that five-year plan, I had choice. And I knew that once I got there, I would have a new view. You know, you climb the mountain, you get to the other side, you've got a new view. And that view, I would be able to make the right choice. So I let go of what the choice was, but I knew what the plan was. Because when you get to that profitability, freedom, you have choice. And that's actually all we want. It's actually not I'm selling because I want to get out. It's like, I just want choice.
Yeah, that's I just want to like what you just said. I want to push the emoji, like, what Riss just said, like, that is it. When you create optionality or choice in your life, it's a luxury that most people don't have. And when you do that, you realize that the real choice here is how much can I enjoy this thing that I've created?
Yeah, and then you sell from strength, not from frustration. And then also you get top dollar, not bottom dollar.
Yes, yes. Okay, so buy, sell. Let's talk about the third option, which is to expand. So just to clarify, this is one location. It might be making our current location bigger, like literally knocking down walls, or we might actually move, still one location, to a bigger site. And what we're really talking about here is expansion to making one powerful salon.
Yeah. And I think the distinction is like one rent, one team, one set of one-on-ones, one team meeting, one manager, one training manager, one.
Sounds like the seven ones or something. We should do a podcast on that.
And the seven ones.
Yeah.
But I think we've now put out buy or multi-location. We've talked about no location. And if you find yourself in a position, like often people think about selling or buying another one when there is constraint. And so that constraint might be I've run out of chairs and I've run out of rooms and my team are now working really, really well, but I can't grow anymore. Like we've hit a physical ceiling and that's what happens in a four walls location. And so the easy thought is, well, let's just have two now. But we want to explore how can we do that differently and expand so we don't have multiple problems. We still just have one set of problems. I mean, the problems aren't going away, but at least we don't have double the problems.
Yes.
And really, at least at a minimum, optimize before we multiply, like optimize what we've got. And my experience is that the only reason that owners don't optimize what they already have and think they have to duplicate is they're just not aware what else is possible. Totally. You know everything that you know. And the great thing about being in a community of other owners, something like Seller Mastery or the Boardroom, is that you can expand your view of what's possible.
Totally. Like someone's done 7 years of work to get to this insight and it's changed their business.
Yep.
And then in 7 minutes in a boardroom conversation, someone's stuck on a problem and we're like, hey, has anyone else experienced this? Bang. And it's like,
oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. And it's that whole like, how do you optimize? Like sometimes you can't see it, like you're not aware of it, so you've got to get around people that have already been there.
Yeah, what's the next level?
Yeah.
What's the next level? Because we always only know what we know, and once you've hit the top of what you know, we think of duplicating rather than just going to the next level. It's like going to the next floor on the high rise. And so that's things like pricing, brand positioning, team performance, things like Lean and Luxe, where you can optimize who's doing what in the team, not just everybody doing the same job. Client spend, we call it the 100K client, like how do you develop clients over time, especially for businesses that have been in business for a long time. Systems and processes and even space, physical space, how can we optimize that? And opening hours.
Yeah.
Too many owners say to me, we're maxed out, we're fully booked. And I say, how many late nights do you do? And they go, one. And everyone starts at 9 and everyone finishes at the same time. It's like, hang on a minute. There's some opportunities here.
If I said to you, like if we were on a coaching call and I said, is it possible that you haven't optimized what's possible in your current one location? 9.9 times out of 10, the answer to that is yes, you haven't actually optimized yet and utilized the resources that you have already access to and you're already paying for. So really something to think about.
Totally. I reckon, with a couple of tweaks of the dial, you can get another third out of your business without really changing too much. It's just thinking a little bit differently. So one thing to consider too is, especially in an environment, I know we're well post-COVID now, but we're in a, petrol crisis, there's a war going on.
There is.
Prices are still going up. The world, AI is changing everything. People are going to lose more jobs, blah, 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 blah. We're still in a period of change and flux. And in a period like this, I just think that a high volume, low profit business model is not the one to be pursuing in 2026 to get us to where we want to go in 2030. Do you know, like it's high risk because if you have a low margin, then you've got really a low margin of error before you lose all profitability. And so the multi-site, which might be high volume,
Yeah.
That means multiple salons. That means multiple clients and lots of team. Like we know good quality team members, hard to come by. Why would we put the pressure on ourselves to have to fill up four salons if we could choose a double the square meter of what you've got and have everybody under one roof?
Totally.
There's less operational infrastructure. So I think the model is actually less clients but better clients that spend more, because not everybody is affected by rising prices and crises, you know. There is a better client out there. You just need to appeal to them, adjust and adapt market positioning, the service that you provide. So I think if we had to choose, we want to get away from the high volume, low profit and into low volume, high profit, because if you've got lots of margin, you've got lots of safety.
A lot of the misperception is that there's not as many wealthy people as there is like middle class. And so that might be true in your head, but the reality is that 60% of disposable income comes from 10% of the people. And so it's best that your marketing targets the 10%, because that's where the disposable income is, so that when your prices go up or your team need pay or all of the things, like, it doesn't actually affect those people. Whereas if you're trying to battle down the bottom in the middle where, you know, Afterpay and McDonald's and Facebook and iPhone and all of that stuff, like, they're taking care of the middle class quite well. And I think it's important to have a real good think about who you're actually attracting.
Yeah, because we can't, in that middle band or even in the lower band where, you know, incomes are lower, we can't compete with an iPhone.
No way.
Do you know? Like, at least at the top of the market, you're competing with quality, and those people are visiting hair and beauty salons, and you just have to be better and do something different and unique to attract that top-end client.
Yes.
Whereas at the bottom, you're actually competing against iPhones and McDonald's,
like,
and Ubers.
Everyone's got one, and then you can afterpay it, or you can go interest-free for 36 months. And it's like, at the end of all of that, the average middle-class person has $13 left, which is not enough to consume your even high-volume, you know, lower-price option. So
the drum we want to bang on is, like, go premium.
Go premium.
Better positioning, higher value client, have a stronger brand, be at the top end of the market. It's just a better place to be. You know, one powerful salon beats five average, middle of the road, low profit businesses.
Totally.
It just feels stressful to me.
And the truth of the matter is, if it's not already super clear, is that you can't sell to people, no matter how good your marketing is, that don't have money. So if you want simplicity and profit, then expand is probably like a really good move to consider. That's the one that we just went over.
One location.
Just
like optimize and then expand your four walls and chairs and rooms.
Totally.
If need be. Yep. That's where you get growth.
We're about it. If there's something in your veins that says, I want to scale, I want to go multi-site, 2, 3, 5, then absolutely you can look at buying another lease or buying another place. But,
well, first of all, I want to say that, like, just check yourself before you wreck yourself. Like, is it an ego move? And certainly do not do it before you reach the $1 million mark in revenue. Like, if you haven't nailed how to get to the $1 million mark, don't duplicate, don't replicate. And also that you're not contributing to the revenue.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really important sort of byline if you're going to buy or lease multiple sites.
Yeah. And then, of course, if you want to sell, if you're in that boat, I can't say it any more simply than this. Instead of the desperation of trying to sell something that's not working, take 5 minutes, maybe even 5 weeks, to think about how easy it would be to create something that's actually worth buying. That's where you're going to get a real good return on your investment.
And by the time you do the work to create something that's worth buying and it actually gets profitable enough to be valuable, you might just discover that you really start to enjoy it and you have more freedom and you have more profit. And just like Monica, you might just decide that you love your business.
Yeah.
But at least you'll have choice.
Yeah. And look, so if you're in the buy or the expand or the buy or the sell boat, remember this, that you actually don't get to choose the next move until you've built the first one properly. You said that at the beginning, Riz, and I just think it's worth saying again, like, build what you've got properly, maximize and optimize it.
Yeah. All right, as we wrap up, if you don't understand how you can leverage the business that you already have and you want some help optimizing your salon for profitability or expanding or to prioritize profit, like that should be the goal, not more for more sake, or you want to get ready to sell so you have options, well, this is your invitation to reach out. If you apply for Salon Mastery, then that's the first step to hopping on a call. Let's have a conversation. Let's just find out where you are in the process and what is next for you. And we can go from there. All right. Well, that's a wrap from us.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Joe. Ciao for now.
Ciao.